90.3 WVIN. I am Joel Orion, and I have company. One of the members of Football Night in America and Sunday Night Football on NBC. You can see her locally on WETM. It's the lovely, it's the talented Sunday Night Sideline reporter, Michelle Tafoya. Michelle, thanks so much for giving us a few minutes of your time.
Oh, that's quite an introduction. I can hope I live up to that.
Well, I gotta be honest with you. I gotta come clean. I feel a little guilty. I fell asleep last night at halftime. I'm embarrassed to say it, but I don't be too upset. I got up. I DVR'd the game. I always watch it in the morning. A great job as always, and what a great game. Your thoughts on last night's Giants-Cowboys game on NBC?
Well, I think that the Giants proved to the world that they have a defense that is really capable of slowing down most offenses. They were glued in the secondary to all the receivers. But I will also say it was not the best night for Dallas. I mean, I don't know if they just – it was sticky getting started, so they never really found a rhythm in the passing game. But because they didn't find that rhythm, the lanes weren't opening up for Ezekiel Elliott the way that they usually do. And they got a little pressure on Dak, and he threw some errant passes. So it was not the best game for the Cowboys, but I really do think the Giants showed that their defense is legitimate.
Wanted to get your thoughts on this. Not sure if you heard any rumblings during the game when you were on the sidelines Sunday night, but the story came out this week that Jason Garrett was actually contemplating pulling Dak Prescott in that game and putting in Tony Romo. Were you surprised when you heard that news this week?
No, not really. I mean, you've got this guy on the sidelines who's a proven veteran, who's it's honestly, it's weird seeing him as a backup on the sideline.
Right.
It's a little strange. I know it is to me. I'm sure it is to viewers, and I know it is to his teammates as well. When Dak was struggling, I'm sure it came to Jason's mind that, you know what, I wonder what would happen if we threw Tony in here and just, you know, saw what he could do. So I don't think we're in the position yet where, and I know Jerry Jones said this morning, he's not going to bench. No one's going to bench Dak at this point. But certainly, you've got a great backup plan there. I think Dak has proven so much. Last night was made tough on him. He didn't have any open receivers. So we'll see what happens this week of practice and when they host Tampa Bay. The good news is for them, they're at home next week against Tampa Bay, and they have an opportunity to clinch the division at home.
On the phone with us, Michelle Tafoya, part of the Football Night in America crew, Sunday Night Football on NBC. You can also hear on NBC Sports Radio. Log on to NBCSportsRadio.com or download the NBC Sports Radio mobile app as well. Michelle, it wasn't an epically cold night last night, but you're down in the elements with the guys on the sidelines. You're not up in the warm booth with Al and Chris Collinsworth. Can you tell when the elements are affecting a team or teams just by their body language, what they're saying on the sideline, how they're acting?
Yeah, generally, I would say that the worst elements for these guys to play in are wind, number one, and rain, number two. So it was snowing last night early, and I talked to guys. I talked to Dak. I talked to both the kickers, and they were like, yeah, this snow is not a big deal. It's wind that affects things most because, you know, it affects the passing game. It affects the kicking game. Same thing with the rain. So you can tell by talking to guys early. You can tell by whether or not the wind picks up. But other than the temperature being low last night, I don't think weather was a factor.
Well, one of the many benefits of being part of the primetime crew on Sunday night is you get the best games of the weekend, more weeks than not. This weekend, Sunday night, you got another good one. The 8-5 Tampa Bay Buccaneers travel to Dallas to take on the 11-2 Cowboys. People can hear that on 1380 WABH starting at 7:30 approximately, and they can watch it on the local NBC affiliate, WETM. This should be a good one Sunday night, Michelle, for you guys.
It is a good one. Tampa Bay has rattled off five straight. Their defense is playing very, very well. They slowed down Drew Brees and that number one scoring offense on Sunday. So I think it's time to sort of open our eyes collectively and say, what's going on? You know, Tampa Bay, they're down there in Florida. And usually you just think of Miami or, you know, and Tampa Bay is making some noise.
Sure.
Jameis Winston is, from what I can tell, a very good leader on that team. And even when they can't do a lot offensively, like I said, their defense has stepped in and played really, really well. And that's what spurred them to this five-game win streak. So I think if you're Dallas, you know you're at home, but you're facing a really legitimate team here, especially defensively, and they're coming off a game where they struggled with the New York Giants defense. So they've got to look at this really seriously and say, how do we get things moving against Tampa Bay?
98.3 WVIN is the home of the Buffalo Bills in the Southern Tier. Now, you've not had a chance to see Buffalo in person this year, Michelle. They've not played on Sunday Night Football. They've played on Thursday night and Monday night. So I know you've not had an up-close look at them, but you've been around the NFL for a while now. When I say the Buffalo Bills, from a national perspective, from a perspective from, you know, afar, when I say Buffalo Bills, what comes to mind?
Always hanging around. Yeah. Toughness. You know, they're not the Patriots, but they're not the Browns.
Right.
And they're in there. And I would ask people up there in Buffalo, all right, if you want Rex Ryan to leave, who do you want to replace him with?
Exactly.
And is that person available? You know, it's really easy to say, let's cut this player or let's fire this coach. But then I want you to follow up and say, all right, who's going to replace that person?
Yep.
So, look, I think Rex Ryan can coach. Yep. And you may not be patient enough to wait, but sometimes you've got to. I mean, you look at the Dallas Cowboys.
Yep.
This has been years in the making, what they're doing right now. And we'll see if they're really doing it here late in the season. But it's been building the offensive line. It's been waiting for the right quarterback, waiting for the right running back. They still don't have a dominant pass rush, but their defense is really growing. So I'd say the same thing for Buffalo. I'm not sure you want to just quickly get rid of a coach because you're not happy with the results yet.
Continuing on with the Bills, Michelle, Rex coaching maybe for his job here, coming down the stretch to finish this season. A lot of people want Rex fired. I know the defense has not performed well underneath him since he's gotten here. But I don't really think Rex is the problem. I'd rather have Rex Ryan than Dick Geron or Greg Williams or Chan Gailey. I think the problem is quarterback. I'm not sold on Tyrod Taylor as being a top-level quarterback. In the NFL 2016, you can tell me ground and pound all you want. I think quarterback, coach, you need those two in order to be successful. You can say maybe a wide receiver to take the top off the defense. You could say maybe a shutdown corner because it is such a passing league anymore. Maybe a pass rush. But in my mind, Michelle, it's quarterback coach you need in the NFL in 2016. And quite frankly, Rex Ryan just doesn't have that, in my opinion.
Al, I don't disagree with you, but I'm one of these people that believes in the play right at the line of scrimmage, the trenches, if you will. I believe in building a really strong offensive line and having a couple of pass rushers who can do things for you. Because what you do there enables the quarterback and the receivers and everyone else to do what they do. So, yes, you've got to have a coach. My late father-in-law was a college coach and coached defense primarily. And he would always say, you know, look, you may have been here a while. You may have experience. You may be a senior. I want the best players.
Right.
I want the best players. I don't care if you have an A on your test or whatever. I want the best players playing for me. So, you know, you may be a senior, but if there's a freshman who's better than you, I want that guy.
Sure.
So talent across the board is really important. And when you've got 32 teams in the NFL, it's difficult to have talent at every level on offense and defense. So I think I'm a big believer, like I said, in the trenches. I think, just like we say, it's the economy, stupid. It's the offensive line, stupid. You know,
right.
No matter who your quarterback is, you've got to give him time. You've got to open lanes for the running back. And I think that's where the offense starts.
We're talking with Michelle Tafoya. You can hear her on NBC Sports Radio, online at NBCSportsRadio.com, or you can download the free NBC Sports Radio mobile app. You can also see her on Football Night in America with Sunday Night Football on NBC. Locally on WETM, you can hear Sunday Night Football on 1380 WABH. Michelle, I know you're very busy and you got a lot of things going on. We'll cut you loose here in a minute. Let's do four downs. I'll ask you four questions. First thing that comes to the top of your mind, just go ahead and throw it out, okay?
All righty.
All right. How much do you hear down on the sidelines that you can't report on? Do you hear a lot that you're like, oh, I'd love to say that, but I can't?
No, honestly, hearing down there is very, very difficult.
Right.
You do hear some stuff, but a lot of it would be the same old stuff, you
right.
know, kind of the propping up and the cheering and
sure.
all this and getting guys vamped up. So it's very difficult to hear, but no, not a large percentage at all.
So for a guy like me in the minor leagues here, you've worked it locally and at all the major networks, CBS, ESPN, ABC, NBC. I guess my question would be, is it all the same gig, just different call letters, or is there differences between the major networks to work for them?
There are definitely differences, and I'm thrilled to be at NBC, and I'm not just saying that because they employ me. They really do a very good job supporting us on Sunday Night Football. I've got a tremendous producer. He's one of a kind. Same with our director. You know, not everyone gets to work with Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth. They've built a team that is, I think, second to none. And so, yeah, there's a difference.
Okay, here you go. Hardest coach to interview, pregame, halftime, or postgame? I think I may know, but go ahead. Who's the toughest interview for you think?
I am going to say that I understand how every coach feels pregame, halftime, and post. And I respect the heck out of that. I'm the last person they want to see. So I just do my job and hopefully get what I can. They're all very cooperative.
Yeah. Okay, I thought it was going to be Belichick for sure, but you surprised me with that answer. Finally, you've done it. you've done it all. In-studio host, you've done some play-by-play, sideline, you've done basketball, football, college, and pros for those sports. If you had a dream job up in the booth for a football game or basketball, sideline, in-studio, if NBC came to you and said, Michelle, you tell us what you want to do next weekend, what would be the gig? Is it what you're doing now, or is it something different you'd like to do?
It's tough to argue with what I'm doing now. I mean, to view the games from my vantage point is tremendous. I could never even think about doing play-by-play because I don't know how I could ever compete with Al Michaels. Same with analysis. I don't think I could ever compete with Chris Collinsworth. But if they were to give me a nice, warm place to sit and tell stories, maybe up there in the booth as a third person, that would be pretty cool because then I could, drink coffee and hot cocoa like Chris sure. and Al do and have a heater by my feet. That would be really nice.
You're one of the best sideline reporters in the business. We have Hunter Lee, who is our sideline reporter on the Rams radio network for Bath Haberling Rams football games. It was his first year this year. He did a great job. He's learning the job. But, maybe here's a chance for him to get a little free advice from you. In a sentence, if you could sum up the job and what you need to do and what makes a great sideline reporter, what would you say in that sentence?
You have got to be able to juggle. You've got to be able to turn on a dime. You think you're doing one thing, the next thing you know, you're doing another. And you've just got to be able to fly with it. It may be the most demanding job that gets the least amount of attention that there is because and you just have to be flexible and be ready for that.
Michelle, thanks so much for giving us a few minutes of your time. This was the first opportunity I've ever had to chat with you. It was a blast. I appreciate it. Maybe we can do this again. From mine to yours, happy holidays. Stay safe. Keep up the great work. It was good talking.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you so much. There you go. Michelle Tafoya, and you can listen to her on NBC Sports Radio. You can go to NBCSportsRadio.com. Listen on the NBC Sports Radio mobile app as well. Part of the Sunday Night Football crew on NBC with Al and Chris. You know, it's funny. When I was a kid, like 13 or younger, like my son, all I ever wanted to do was stay up and watch Monday Night Football with my dad. And my mom made me go to bed at halftime of Monday Night Football. Now I can't stay awake past halftime of Sunday Night and Monday Night Football. Amazing how things change. But there you go. Michelle Tafoya. Fun. Never had a chance to talk with her. She does a great job. One of the best on the sidelines in the biz. She's done a lot. If you look up Michelle Tafoya, you'd be amazed at how much she has done. She has had a terrific career and still going strong. It is 98.3 WVIN.